Last week, on Thursday, March 11th to be exact, Edmonton's ethnic radio station 101.7 World FM was awarded the title of Multicultural Radio Station of the Year for the second year in a row. As well, this year the station is celebrating its 30th year of broadcasting to Edmonton's ethnic communities. The station's program director just happens to be one of our own. He's the longtime producer and host of Edmonton's highly popular Ukrainian radio program, Radio Journal. He's Roman Britan. And Roman was on hand to receive the honors in person at the Canadian Music and Broadcast Industry Awards in Toronto. I caught up with him by telephone in Toronto the next day to chat with him about the award and his work.
Thanks so much for joining us, Roman, and congratulations on this back-to-back award.
Well, it's my pleasure, and thank you very much.
Have your feet hit the ground yet, or are you still floating?
Well, you know, Edmonton's considered a major market in radio, and the funny thing about our radio station is we really kind of see ourselves as a small market station in a lot of ways in a major market. So whenever we get anything, any kind of recognition that's on a more national level, especially in Toronto where there are giants like Chin Radio and Ethnic Broadcasting, that's huge. So having won it last year, you know, we were just awestruck by that, and we rode that wave the entire year. But I honestly, you know, was telling everybody there was no way in the world that I thought that we could possibly repeat. But here we are.
Well, it's a very well-deserved award, and you're certainly instrumental in the process. Now, when were you appointed as program director?
I've been program director now for 3 years, 3.5 years.
Okay, so that's kind of coincidental there, I'd say.
Coincidental, you say?
Well, yeah. You've been director for 3 years, and the last two years you won the award.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Well, actually, it's coincidental with the fact that 3 years ago is when Rogers Radio bought us out, so we became, you know, a part of a bigger company. Prior to that, we didn't have a program director. Basically, our GM acted as everything because it was a small, locally owned station.
Okay. So then, did your experience with Radio Journal influence the direction you took as program director?
I would say to a certain extent, yes. The direction that I always tried to take with Radio Journal has been, I guess, a bit of a trailblazing one. Sorry to use that word, in a sense it's kind of odd to use it on yourself, but what I mean by that is I've always tried to break that program out of the traditional sort of campus radio or church basement mode of ethnic programming.
Right.
Trying to adapt some, as many, you know, mainstream standards, if you will, to the show as possible, you know, while still covering the community. And so that influenced a lot of features and things that we were always trying out on the show. So in a way, my program was always the one that the other programs tended to follow as we moved in new directions with it. So a lot of those things, I think, kind of painted my vision of what a multicultural station could sound like if we tried to move it up to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly, you've been a mentor to me in that way. You've been doing this for a long, long time. You celebrated your 25th anniversary as producer and host of Radio Journal. What, 25th? How many years ago was that you celebrated?
Well, actually three, because this is March, so this month is 28 years that I've been doing the show.
Wow, amazing. So it certainly has spilled over, and you've done a wonderful show. It's certainly very, you know, professional and just all-encompassing, and really a great template for me to follow, and I'm sure for many other broadcasters in the country to follow as well.
Well, I appreciate that.
So, did you make any major changes that you can, you know, specifically pinpoint when you became program director to the way things were doing, you know, were done before? As you said, there was no program director, so yeah, definitely you're a trailblazer.
I think the most important thing was really the acceptable standards, you know, of the sound, the overall sound of the station, especially starting with the. With the daily programs, because in essence those people are, you know, they're paid because they're doing shows 5 days a week, in some cases 6 days a week. So it was easy to start there because, I mean, we can expect certain things of people that we're paying. It's always an odd sort of mix of volunteers and professionals that we have at stations such as ours, because we have a lot of people on the weekends that just do, you know, once a week programs. But that said, we're certainly also demanding more of them. And a lot of it has to do with the uniformity of presentation, you know, the way, just the way that the content of a show is built. A lot of people haven't ever been challenged to sit down and actually put together a program design. You know, it's always been kind of, well, bring in some records and, you know, we'll make some community announcements and occasionally have a guest and just fill up the hour. But there are certain principles that apply. Some things might not apply for mainstream radio, but certain standards of what we're used to hearing when we turn on any radio station in this country, they certainly should apply, and there's no reason why they shouldn't. So that's been something that I've been focusing on a lot.
So, for example?
Well, for example, like I said, with program design, it means sitting down. It means taking a look at that hour or 2 hours or 3 hours that you have, deciding how the various segments are going to flow, not just haphazardly putting them together as you go, you know, looking at how you might work with your music library, how certain styles and, you know, how you might break down in terms of how much traditional, how much new releases you may want to present, when you do them, how you do them, you know, familiarity of songs versus bringing in some new things, just these basic kinds of questions. That there's a science to a lot of that.
Sure.
And, you know, one of the things that I could probably say, I have a lot of things to say on both sides of the coin about being a part of a larger corporation such as Rogers, but on the positive side for sure is the fact that we work in the same building with an extremely popular and also in its own right trailblazing modern rock station called Sonic 102.9.
Right.
For myself personally, just being able to work with a station like that and watching what they do to deliver, you know, a slick product. And just taking like the best elements of that, and then working with my own people on an ongoing basis. It's about paying attention to what they're doing. It's about responding to what they're doing. It's about making them know that you're actually listening to them. Mm-hmm. Sitting down and doing air checks. For 28 years, I've been doing my show, but you know, before the last couple of years, nobody ever sat down with me on a regular basis to just listen to bits of my show and say, okay, why are you doing that? Have you tried this? Have you thought of this? I suppose a standard principle in working with employees anywhere, and that's to give feedback. But in radio, sometimes, especially in ethnic radio, sometimes we feel, you know, these people are giving a lot of themselves already, and we don't want to step on their toes, and they know their communities, so who are we to tell them what to say and how to say it? Well, I don't speak, you know, 20-plus languages, even though I'm program director at a station that does, so I, of course, put a lot of faith and trust in my people. But ultimately, we all have ears. We all have ears that are trained to a certain level of professionalism every time we turn on the radios from when we were small children. So we know what sounds like a program that knows what it's doing and knows what it wants to accomplish. So at that point, then, it becomes a universal. I don't need to speak Mandarin to sit down with the Mandarin people and say, okay, let's listen to a bit of your show. Let's listen to, why are you speaking for 2.5 minutes here? Is there 2.5 minutes worth of content there? Or, you know, should you be like speaking 30 seconds and getting on with the music? Let's tell me what's in here. Let's talk about it and see whether we can tighten it up or whether we need to, you know, change the whole program around. So air checks with people are vital. And the other thing that they accomplish is it's then in the back of your mind constantly that somebody is listening to you, you know, beyond just the choir, and that somebody does care about what you're doing. So that kind of positive feedback also, as in, hey, I listened to your show yesterday, it sounded fantastic. That sort of thing goes miles and miles towards building confidence in a lot of people.
Oh, absolutely.
And it just gives you a better overall sound.
Right, right. So what were the specific criteria, then, that merited the station this award?
Well, you know, it's a little bit vague. The way that the award system works with the Canadian Music Week is the industry is invited to submit applications for nominations. When that's done, there's a board that looks at the nomination forms, and in particular, you're allowed to basically describe the types of things that you're doing. In my case, I didn't nominate us. It was nominated by the company we were, but they asked me to submit a write-up of the kinds of things that we're doing in our programming, how we're reaching the community, the types of things that we're doing outside of our programming itself. So they look at a well-rounded radio station that's involved and, you know, well-integrated into the community.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular in things like, again, ethnic radio, they want to see some innovation. So hopefully there are some steps forward that we've been able to point out that will draw the attention of the nominations committee. Once that happens, they release the list of nominees, and then the entire industry can go in and vote online, and then a station is chosen.
Wow.
You know, in the case of ethnic multicultural, it's one of those you know, it's like those secondary Academy Awards, the Technical Academy Awards, right? You figure that most of the people voting probably don't know too much about what's really going on at your station. But then I think it's things like website and just pretty much any kind of material you can supply them makes the difference when they go through it.
Right.
So, you know, it probably doesn't hurt that we're the only multicultural station in the Rogers family, so we kind of got that support behind us and everybody's voting for us. But that said, I mean, it was a total surprise, that's for sure.
Oh, well, was there any cash involved or is it just glory?
No, it's just bragging rights, really. But, I mean, believe me, you know, I mean, in such a competitive market, I mean, to be able to say that, especially in a city like Edmonton, that, you know, we've been recognized nationally, and now to say it that it's 2 years in a row, I mean, that's really worth its weight in gold to us.
Absolutely. Now, this is a great way to kick off a milestone anniversary. So any plans in store to celebrate the 30th anniversary?
We've had just a major, you know, I think if this is any indication, it's going to be a heck of a year because we started off by, again, because of our association with Rogers, to have been able to be the carrier of all the live hockey broadcasts and the opening and closing ceremonies of the Olympics. So that was a huge feather in the cap for us. And made for a really challenging February because it was a lot of preemptions and moving the schedule around to accommodate those things.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, there's a game, and there's a game that you have to play, unfortunately, with if you're a commercial ethnic station, and that's the constant sort of foot in the door game. You know, as in world who. So the more things that we can arm our sales staff with, as in, well, for instance, we're the guys that carried the hockey games from the Olympics. Anything
right.
that opens the door so that a potential advertiser will listen to you and prick up his ears a little bit.
Right.
So those things are huge. So that happened in February. Now this is huge for us. And now we're just putting together our plans for the rest of the year. Our major event always is the Heritage Festival in Edmonton, which sees about 500,000 people go through the gates there. And we're the major sponsor always. So we're going to have a big amphitheater outdoor show. We have something called the World Wonder Contest, which is sort of our ethnic version of Canadian Idol.
Oh.
We launched it last year, and it was very successful, so we're looking forward to expanding that a bit this year. November 1st is actually the date of the incorporation of when we first went on air. So towards November sometime, we'll be looking at some sort of major banquet event or something. But all year, we're looking forward to having various ways of celebrating.
Well, sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations again on receiving this award, 2 years running, no less. I'm sure I can speak on behalf of my listeners, fellow broadcasters, and indeed the entire Ukrainian community in saying that we're all really very proud of you.
Well, thank you. That means a lot.
Well, it's so well-deserved. Thanks so much for joining us, and keep up the good work.
All right. Thanks, bud.
Thanks.
And I was speaking with Roman Bertin, Program Director at 101.7 World FM in Edmonton, this year's and last year's Canadian Multicultural Radio Station of the Year.